AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's Brett and Sam on a Monday afternoon. Sam, it's been a couple of weeks since I've seen you.
Yep. Sick last week.
Feeling better? Glad you're not spreading around the company crap again here at the station. Well, that makes it sound like you were the one that started it. You actually were not the one that started that first round of company stuff that went around the office a couple of weeks ago. I was, I think, the second person to catch it after an unnamed person here at the station picked it up first. I won't throw that person under the bus, but yeah, they came in here, coughed up a storm, and I ended up with the cold. Then it went to, I think, Eric caught it, Kate caught it. It went to Jennifer and Laura upstairs. You got it. Matt McNeil picked it up. So, yeah, glad you decided to quarantine yourself last week and not pass along that cold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. And by the way, probably going to be seeing more cold since, well, it actually is very cold outside. Looking at some record low temperatures as I was going through that forecast. Crazy to think that it already is the middle, only the middle of November, I should say, and we're only seeing highs in the teens. Man, that feels like it's a month early, but I'm sure we're still going to be getting climate denier guy out there saying, where's your global warming now? Again, the difference between climate and weather, two very distinct things. Did chuckle, though, when I heard that Texas is complaining about having temperatures in the 20s. Yeah, we would probably take those on a day like this. Also, today, of course, is Veterans Day. And something that you might have forgotten about Veterans Day itself was that it actually was not the original name of the holiday. Congress actually voted to change the name to Veterans Day from Armistice Day back in June of 1954, and President Dwight Eisenhower issued a proclamation that in October of that year, 1954, acknowledging that the United States had been engaged in two wars since Armistice Day was first observed. But in a column written back in the day by Jack Woodville London, he wrote that it was called What We Lost When Armistice Day Ended. And the point he was making was basically that by changing it from Armistice Day to Veterans Day, it completely changed the meaning of the holiday, because he argues one of the reasons they actually changed the name from Armistice Day to Veterans Day was that it was too closely associated with Armistice that ended the Korean War without a clear victory for the United States, which prompted the holiday to be called Veterans Day instead of Armistice Day, since essentially the United States didn't, quote-unquote, win the Korean War. So again, it is technically Veterans Day today, and I should point out I am not a veteran, Sam. I don't think you're a veteran either, are you? Nope, he's shaking his head. But, I don't know, even though I'm not a veteran, just something really kind of, I don't know if it necessarily irritated me, but kind of rubbed me the wrong way this past weekend as I was watching, of course, all the football games taking place, being that Minnesota at both the collegiate and the professional level had two significant football games. And the thing that really kind of rubbed me the wrong way watching these football games were the amount of commercials that I saw that were supposedly honoring the veterans and honoring the troops. There's one specific insurance commercial that I kept getting over and over again when I was watching the Vikings game last night. This wasn't the TV feed. I was actually picking it up from the NBC Sports stream, so they were probably different than the commercials that were playing over the actual airwaves. But I kept getting this commercial talking about how this insurance company is so friendly to veterans, and they have supposed veterans on there, although I'm actually guessing they're probably actors, saying how nice it is to be working with an insurance company that's friendly to veterans. Then, of course, we also had NBC with all of their supposedly honoring of veterans. You had shots of veterans watching football games from all around the world. And then you, of course, heard, at least on the stream again, I was watching during the Vikings game last night, they had just this awful country song playing over this commercial for, oh, I can't even remember the business. It was one of the fast food places. It wasn't McDonald's or Burger King. I want to say it was maybe, I don't think it was KFC, but anyways, they had this really irritating country song that just overall came across as very much pandering to veterans and going back to something Matt said, not really honoring veterans, but acknowledging them. And I'm actually going to take that a step further. I don't even think they're necessarily honoring veterans by some of these promotions that we see. I think it's more that they're honoring war. They're not actually honoring veterans. I think what we're actually seeing is people that are honoring war, which is an entirely different thing. Because I feel like when we hear things like talking about bravery and doing flyover and having military parades, that's not so much to me, that doesn't strike me as being something that's honoring veterans. That's something that's honoring war, which to me is not really a good thing at all. Because war, of course, is a horrible thing. Going back to the song, what a war was it good for, obviously. But I'm just not comfortable with the fact that it seems like we're honoring war and not veterans themselves. And I think the best way to honor veterans would be not having the need for them anymore in the first place, not sending them overseas to endless wars or to places we don't necessarily need to be. I think Veterans Day should be something that actually is a really sad occasion, not something that we should be having, you know, American flags on beer cans saying, we support the troops. I think we should almost feel shamed that we still have veterans that are serving overseas unnecessarily, and that we have had millions of people die, both in the military and civilians, for both sides of a conflict. So, I don't know, Sam. Yeah, I just don't necessarily like the idea. I just feel like we're really missing the point with how Veterans Day is supposedly celebrated or honored, because I don't feel like we're quite getting the right tone with what Veterans Day actually should be.
Right, and having, like, taken some classes with advertising and doing some work in advertising, like, a big thing that strikes me is it's, like, as you guys, you both, you and Matt said, it's, on one hand, it's really more an acknowledgement rather than supporting troops, which is great, as Matt was saying, too. Yeah. It's great to acknowledge them, but part of it, to me, feels, it's like, it's almost more like they're getting a really good PR off this. Like, this is more beneficial to the companies themselves than it is to the veterans, like... Mm-hmm. They're getting PR. They get to be and say, hey, look at me standing next to this veteran, buy my product. And yeah. It's great advertisement for them. It's a win-win for them. They're not giving anything. They're not giving up anything. They're not really supporting anything. It's just a PR move for them, and they're capitalizing on the sacrifice that these veterans made. And I don't, as Matt was saying, if you want to support them, they should be advocating for funding these programs, mm-hmm. for things that Matt was talking about that they should really, things that would actually support.
Like free health care, obviously, right. And not having to go through a bloated VA system.
Things that would support free college, all yes. veterans, as opposed to like one who's a contest winner who gets to go on TV for a day or something, you know? Like, because even then, as Matt mm-hmm. was saying, it's all theatrical. It's just a way to say like, hey, look at us and how much we love veterans. You should love our product now because of how much we love veterans. And mm-hmm. just tugging at people's heartstrings to get them to be like, oh, wow, the NFL, what a great organization. They love veterans. I'm going to watch more football now.
I just feel like, too, the best way to honor a veteran and to honor veterans themselves would be, let's not create any more veterans that have to go overseas. Because nothing you can do as we're sitting here talking about the fact that, you know, okay, well, veterans should get free school. They should get free health care. That still doesn't come close to the fact that people die overseas. I think people would rather be obviously alive than say, oh, well, I get a promise of a free education or a promise of a free healthcare system. Not anything like that. That's the biggest way I think you can honor them, is by not sending them overseas needlessly to die or to come back with PTSD. Because if you're suffering from PTSD, having free healthcare, having a free education system, or getting a good parking spot at your Denny's or whatever restaurant, whatever other ways we supposedly honor veterans, that does you no good if you're fighting in a war needlessly. Because I feel like we also overlook how awful war is. Again, I haven't served in one myself, but all you need to do is talk to people who have and actually figure out how bloody and how much it changes your world when you actually kill somebody. To actually take a human life from somebody. That's what you do when essentially you're in the military. You're taking someone else's life. And of course, if you're serving in the military, you have the risk of your life being taken as well. I feel like Veterans Day just becomes kind of trivial with the way we supposedly celebrate it. I think the best way to honor it would be to honor veterans is, let's not create any more needlessly. And by the way, speaking of the veterans, Donald Trump, of course, the president of the United States, has said he wants to end endless wars, which at the time when he was elected, as we're kind of switching gears here, that was one of the areas I actually agreed with him on, and one of the areas I was actually very optimistic that, all right, well, I don't like a lot of his policies. Obviously, he's going to be bad for the economy, bad on social issues and so many others, but at least in this area, he's going to try to stop endless wars. Well, unfortunately, looking at the numbers, not necessarily been the case, as Afghanistan has actually seen an increase in troops since he's took office, from 12,000 to 3,000. Saudi Arabia and the Persian Gulf nations have seen an increase of 45 to 65,000. That's outside of Afghanistan. Africa has seen an increase of 6,000 to 7,000 troops overseas. And of course, that's not just a problem that's unique to President Trump. That obviously happened under Obama and completely happened over under the George W. Bush administration to just an absurd degree. So obviously, that still hasn't happened here under the Trump administration. And we're bogged down in so many conflicts that I don't even think you can reach the point where we can just say, hey, let's just take all of our troops home and have no more overseas, because that's a horrible solution as well, as evidenced by what we saw in Syria when we had the Trump administration pull all of those troops away from protecting and helping the Kurds in that area, because you strategically do need troops in some areas, not because that's a good thing in the first place. It's because we've created so many messes over the years is that we can't just pick up and leave, because you risk obviously creating more wars, which I think could end up happening with the Kurds, or at least through terrorist attacks, since they feel like we abandoned them. And the fact that we've just created so many messes overseas that we can't just pick up and leave. We can't just break things and then leave and say, oh, you fix it, when we're the ones that created the mess in the first place. So back to the original point, yeah, the best way to honor veterans, let's not create any more veterans that have to go overseas and needlessly serve in wars. What do you think about that? 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, because that's at least from my perspective. I'm someone who's not a veteran. I'm someone who's not served in any branch of the military. This is just me looking at it from a civilian perspective, and even I'm looking at this and feeling like we're really kind of missing the point of Veterans Day and exactly what it should mean, and the fact that I feel like we're almost kind of honoring the act of war instead of actually honoring the veterans who end up facing horrific situations overseas, and of course the civilians and the so-called enemy combatants that they run into as well, also facing horrific situations, just bad all around. And I feel like we don't really get that conveyed to us through Veterans Day or other sorts of us so-called celebrations like that. 952-946-6205. Coming up next, we're going to move on to some other news, both at the local and national level, including what's happening on insulin, and also Amy Klobuchar making some comments about fellow presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg. That's all the way next here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hi, my name is Frank Brown. I'm the owner of Minuteman Press Uptown. We print everything.
Do you print yard signs?
We print everything.
Calendars?
We print everything.
What about, like, post-it notes?
We print everything.
Table tents?
We print everything.
Awards, plaques?
We print everything.
Menus?
We print everything.
Wow, I guess you print everything.
So if you need something, anything printed, bring it to Minuteman Press Uptown, because we print everything.
Wendy, great news.
What's the great news, Robert?
Hey, we're on Wednesdays now at 5 p.m.
That's great. What's the name of the show?
Pilot's Playhouse? I don't know.
Pilot's Playhouse? That's terrible.
That is terrible. Hey, everyone should listen in and see what we come up with.
So what's the new show about?
Well, we'll have local and national news and guests that you don't hear anywhere else.
Wednesdays at 5.
See you then.
Hey, it's Brett from the 4 p.m. show, and I got a crazy question for you. Is your home ready for the holidays? Yeah, I know it seems way too soon to be talking holidays, but they will sneak up on you. That's why I just use Zero Res to clean my carpets, so come holiday season, I'll have at least one thing off my checklist. And right now, Zero Res has an awesome carpet cleaning deal. 3-room Zero Resified starting at only $149. But you need to mention AM950 when you call. So call 952-ZERO-RES, mention AM950, and you'll be ahead of those sneaky holidays.
To celebrate Give to the Max Day on Thursday, November 14th, the Interact Center for the Visual and Performing Arts in St. Paul's Creative Enterprise Zone will host a free and public performance, Se Posible, a show featuring original songs and untold stories from their professional artists with and without disabilities. The performance is from 1 until 2 p.m., but stay after for the social hour where you can grab cookies and hot cocoa, visit with the artists, and shop for original art and unique gifts throughout the building created by over 70 visual artists. Interact Center is located at 1860 Minnehaha Avenue in St. Paul off of University and Pryor, and there's plenty of free parking available. Again, the free performances and meet and greet is on Give to the Max Day on Thursday, November 14th from 1 until 3 p.m. For more information on the public event, go to facebook.com/interactcenter. That's facebook.com/interactcenter. Or go to their website at interactcenter.org. That's interactcenter.org.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop. OP.
And we're back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, 4 o'clock on your Monday afternoon, well, technically 4:22. By the way, during that commercial break, you might have heard Robert and Wendy Pilot talking about a new show that's going to be debuting on AM 950 this week, coming up Wednesday at 5 p.m. He's got a new local program. He does have a name for it. It won't be Pilot's Playhouse, as you heard in the promo, because as Wendy said, that's a terrible name. Unless, Sam, are you a fan of Pilot's Playhouse being a name of Robert's new show?
I'm a fan of that being a joke.
Yeah, it's not Pilot's Playhouse. He does have a new name for the show.
Yeah, I've heard him talk about different names. So.
Yeah, he's got one set up, so I'll let him be the one that reveals that new name on his Wednesday program coming up at 5 p.m. And by the way, if you're a fan of Rick Unger, we are going to preempt his show just for that 1 hour on that one day on Wednesdays. So you'll still be able to get your fix of Rick Unger on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday for the full 2 hours, and then you'll still also hear 1 hour of his program on Wednesdays from 5 until 6 p.m. But definitely excited that we're going to be having Robert Pilot debuting a new show Wednesday from 5 until 6 p.m. And that will be live as well. So very happy to have some more local programming coming your way here on AM 950. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Lynn in Plymouth. Hi there, Lynn.
Hi there. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How about you?
Pretty good, thank you. I'm calling. Terminology clarification. When a person gets out of the military, then they are a veteran.
Gotcha.
But
okay.
When they're serving, they're active duty.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not a veteran until you get out of the service.
Mm-hmm.
And you were referring to active duty members as veterans.
Yep, I stand corrected on that, but I think the point still goes is that I think, yeah, the ultimate goal should be, yeah, we shouldn't be having active duty people overseas who, of course, become veterans themselves.
Well, as a veteran, I guess it's nitpicky, but, you know.
I think it's still very important to point out as well. No, that's a good correction to make there, Lynn, and thanks for serving as well.
Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Thanks, Lynn. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So speaking of the U.S. military, have some kind of ugly news to pass along to them regarding them, and this is actually thanks to our buddy Mark and Fridley who passed along this story to me. He says, this isn't Mark that wrote this story, but this is actually from a news article that says the U.S. military is reportedly surveilling rights groups and activists engaged in peaceful protests both against President Trump's border wall and the separation of migrant children from their families at the southern border. So the U.S. military is actually now spying on these groups. According to an internal Pentagon document obtained by the Young Turks in partnership with The Intercept, military forces deployed to the U.S.-Mexico border assessed the threat posed by interfaith groups Heartland for Human Justice, and Rio Bravo Action Camp, an activist training camp are actually hosted by the Democratic Socialists of America's Rio Grande Valley chapter, the Cazaro tribe of also Texas, the Carrizo Comacrubo tribe of Texas. I might be mispronouncing that, and other organizations. But the bottom line is that we have a number of these human rights groups that are actually being spied on by the U.S. military. And of course, if that theme sounds familiar, that's exactly what we saw also during the Bush administration during his years. And don't forget, also during the Obama administration as well, because over the years, we often hear about how politicians will come into office, especially the presidency, and say, well, I'm the one that's going to end this national security surveillance or this military surveillance. And of course, it never actually ends up happening. Obama is actually probably the best example of that, as it was actually part of his campaign saying, oh, we're going to stop this big government surveillance. Well, lo and behold, that really didn't happen at all during his administration. One of the few areas where he didn't do such a good job. Of course, we saw Snowden come to light during the Obama administration. Trump even came into office when he was elected in 2016, sort of talking about how he also didn't want big government surveillance, but as we're seeing here from this piece about how these activist groups along the U.S. border and Mexico border are now being surveilled, yeah, that hasn't happened as well. So, yeah, in the case of nothing really changing at all, despite the fact that we have a new president. And again, that's not unique to Trump. That's also been happening under Bush and, of course, also under Obama as well. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Tell you what, Sam, we're going to take an early break because on the other side, we are going to touch on this quote that Amy Klobuchar has about Pete Buttigieg's campaign. But I also want to talk about this thing from Bloomberg, an article they just wrote about United Health, who might have inadvertently stumbled into a possible solution to helping homeless people get health care, even though it's from United Health. It's a good policy and program they have implemented, but I think it kind of misses the point in an aspect. So we're going to talk more about this on the other side of the break, as well as some other news as well, as you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Brett and Sam. But first, let's go to the news.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, November 11th, 2019. I'm Dan Hyman. Members of Congress are jousting ahead of public impeachment hearings to start Wednesday. House Intelligence Committee member Representative Eric Swalwell told Face the Nation they have uncovered evidence that the president ran what Swalwell calls an extortion scheme when pressing Ukraine for political dirt on Joe and Hunter Biden. According to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, as many as 600 U.S. troops will remain in northeastern Syria. General Mark A. Miley says they would continue counterterrorism operations against the Islamic State. Bolivia's president, Evo Morales, has resigned. Violent street protests followed what the Organization of American States called clear manipulation of an election last month. Morales had been in power for 14 years, but could not hold on after police and military started siding with the protesters. This is PNS.
A new report says the U.S. has seen an increase of 400,000 children going without health care coverage in the last few years. The findings from the Georgetown University Center for Children and Families blame federal efforts to scale back the Affordable Care Act. Minnesota saw a slight decrease in its number of uninsured kids between 2016 and 2018, but children's advocates worry about how long the state can hold the line. Elizabeth Lukanen, a health policy research official at the University of Minnesota, says the national conversation creates concern.
The concern is that if parents aren't going to sign up for coverage because the mandate isn't in effect, if there's less outreach dollars, you know, and less enrollment assistance for parents, that they're not going to sign up and potentially they're not getting their kids signed up.
She says that's why Minnesota needs to build on its reputation for having strong outreach efforts to enroll families in public insurance programs, which could prevent the state from falling behind like other states. Mike Moen, Minnesota News Connection.
Officials in two Australian states have declared a state of emergency as the country's eastern region faces what are being called catastrophic fire conditions. There has been almost no rain for months. Temperatures are forecast to reach nearly 100 degrees with high winds. At least three people died over the weekend. Here in the U.S., military veterans gather across the country today for ceremonies that honor their service, but scam artists may use the occasion to rob them of their savings.
According to an AARP survey, 16% of U.S. veterans have lost money to fraudsters, while 72% have been targeted by scams specifically designed to exploit their service history. Leah Ganshaw with AARP South Dakota says the scammers tend to be opportunists and may use the holiday to contact veterans asking for donations to non-existent charities.
Veterans are twice as likely to lose money to a scam as someone in the civilian population is because of the benefits that they have fought so hard to earn. Fraudsters know that that is of value.
To avoid being scammed, Ganshaw says it's important to know that federal agencies, such as the Social Security Administration, always contact people by mail, not by phone. I'm Roz Brown.
I'm Dan Hyman for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
The Audubon Center of the Northwoods on Grindstone Lake west of Sandstone offers a great variety of environmental learning experiences for people of all ages running year-round. But did you know you can book your own event here at the center? Check out our lakeside dining hall and the variety of lodging and meeting accommodations available. Visit us on the web at audubon-center.org or call 320-245-ACNW. The Audubon Center of the Northwoods.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. I'm an idealist working to change the world. My show, Ellie 2.0 Radio, highlights other past and present idealists and the incredible things humans can do when we work for the greater good. You remember that idea about the greater good, right? I've got a vision of a better world where everyone has a place at the table. Listen every Monday from 7 to 8 a.m. and be inspired on AM 950.
Auto Technical needs your help to keep our transportation program going. Social agencies like Workforce Training Center, Tubman Shelter, they rely on our mission of providing transportation to families in need. Donations of vehicles are down 80% because of the new tax laws. We really need vehicle donations to continue our mission. Help us, please. Give a call to Richard at 612-919-5526, autotechnical.org.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Tonight's going to be mostly cloudy with a low around 6. Tomorrow there's increasing clouds with a high near 20. Wednesday cloudy with a high near 31. Thursday sunny with a high near 32. And Friday mostly sunny with a high near 35. The Eat Local Minnesota Restaurant of the Week is Hazel's Northeast. For classically inspired, creatively prepared comfort food, come try their lunch items including Hazel's Reuben, Lamb Ragu, and Wild Mushroom Ravioli at 29th and Johnson in Northeast Minneapolis. More info at eatlocalminnesota.com.
At some point, I got to get to Hazel's and try that dinner menu as well. I had some delicious pancakes there the other weekend when I went out there with my parents for a little brunch. My dad got this, I think it was a cheese scrambled egg type thing. I don't know the exact name, but it looked absolutely delicious. I got some great pancakes, and now I got to head out there and check out that dinner menu as well. You might have sold me there, Sam, with that ravioli. That most certainly sounds really, really good. And by the way, yeah, that food is definitely worth checking out. Hazel's Northeast out there in Minneapolis. You been there yourself yet, Sam?
No, I haven't, but I used to live right by there, so I feel like I should get out there. I don't right now, but
yeah.
Like 5 years ago, I used to live over there.
It's one of those places I've driven by numerous times and never stopped at, and it was a couple of weeks ago when my mom said, oh, well, I went there with my friends a few years ago and really enjoyed it. Hey, why don't we meet there for brunch? And that's what we ended up doing, and yeah, some of the best pancakes I've ever had. So definitely check that out over at Hazel's Northeast. All right, so I want to talk about this article from Bloomberg that was just written by John Tozzi because UnitedHealthcare inadvertently stumbled into actually what looks like a pretty good solution to lowering healthcare premiums and also, well, helping homeless people not be burdened with costs when they go to the hospital, which of course also is passed on to you and me as well, since hospitals, of course, are required to care for people no matter what. So I'll briefly read some excerpts from this piece from John Tozzi over at Bloomberg. So the background, first up, is that the Emergency Medical Treatment and Act of Labor Act, which was passed back in 1986, basically had Congress enact a law that barred hospitals from turning away patients who are unable to pay. Any hospital with an emergency room that participates in federal health programs must evaluate and stabilize every patient who comes through the door, including those who are uninsured, indigent, addicted to drugs, or mentally ill. So basically, if you're a hospital, you pretty much have to serve everybody. But what's interesting is that no institution has a similar obligation to ensure that those people have a safe place to sleep. So as a society, what we've essentially done is told people that they shouldn't die on the street, but it is acceptable for them to live there in the hospital, though. There are more than 500,000 homeless people in the U.S., about a third of them unsheltered, that is, living on the streets, under bridges, or in abandoned properties. When they need medical care or simply a bed or a meal, many go to the emergency room. And that's where America has supposedly drawn the line. We'll pay for hospital beds, but not for a home, even when the home would be a whole lot cheaper than actually housing someone who's homeless in the hospital. So here's where United Health comes in, though, from this Bloomberg piece. The research and development lab for United Health experiment is a pair of apartment complexes in a down-at-the-heels corner of Phoenix called the Maryvale. Here, United Health's money is being used to pay for housing and support services for roughly 60 formerly homeless recipients of Medicaid, which is the safety net insurance program for low-income people. Most states outsource their Medicaid programs to private insurance companies like United Health, paying the insurer a per-head monthly fee, which is typically $500 to $1,000, to manage members' care. So they bring up this example, and there's others like him, this patient named Steve. So Steve is a 54-year-old with multiple sclerosis. He also has cerebral palsy, a heart disease, and diabetes. He was homeless before United Health got him into an apartment. And in the 12 months, and here's the key part, in the 12 months prior to moving in, Steve went to the emergency room 81 times, spent 17 days hospitalized, and had medical costs, which were averaging a little under $13,000 per month. And of course, Steve, being a homeless guy, wasn't going to be able to pay those bills, so those largely got stuck onto you and me since, well, the hospitals have to recoup those costs in some way. In the 9 months since he got a roof under his head, though, and health coaching from the United Health team that's helped him out, Steve's average monthly medical expenses have dropped more than 80% to $2,073, all because this program from United Health, their Maryvale housing unit, gave this guy Steve a place to live, and he saw his medical expenses decrease by 80%. Which means, in a way, United Healthcare has kind of stumbled on an interesting solution to, well, helping lower healthcare costs, actually give people who are homeless a roof over their heads. Because, as even just looking from this example, this guy was averaging about $13,000 a month in the ER, and that money is largely going uncompensated since, well, this guy can't afford to pay it, obviously, being homeless. But since they actually gave him housing, well, he's no longer needed to use those services as much. It probably means he's also healthier as well. So while it might be easier or easy to sit there and think, oh, well, we can just rely on groups like United Health or Medicare, or Medica, I should say, not Medicare, Medica, the health insurance company, or Blue Cross Blue Shield to provide housing for homeless people, because technically that means, well, they could actually not have to reimburse hospitals as much since homeless people won't be using the services as much when they go to the ER. I think the problem, though, and Sam, I don't know if you agree with this as well, is that we can't just rely on philanthropy to basically solve the problem of homelessness or other issues as well. Philanthropy is certainly part of the solution, but it can't cover everybody. In fact, if you talk to anyone who works in the nonprofit industry that works with people who are homeless or works with people who are hungry, they'll say, well, philanthropy won't even come close to covering the amount of need that's out there. So while this United Health program certainly is a step in the right direction and actually has proven data that shows when you put a house over someone's head, well, you significantly reduce their medical expenses, philanthropy alone can't do the job. It just shows that if we get a roof over someone's head, obviously we're going to have a better situation for everybody, but we can't just rely on someone like United Health to solve this problem. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Sam, definitely nodding your head in there.
It's just philanthropy. It's great and all, but it's just, it's so, what's the word I'm looking for? Inconsistent. It can't rely on it necessarily.
Yeah, and it's different than a governmental agency who, in theory, has access to everyone. If you have a governmental agency, everyone can be covered by that, in theory, or at least have the opportunity to be covered. So at least through this program, it shows that, well, you could potentially have a governmental program that provides housing over for homeless people. And by doing that, while of course in the short run you'll be paying a lot of money to pay for housing for people who are homeless, well, on the other side, you actually save a whole lot of money because they're not going to the emergency room for, in some cases, housing or emergency procedures because they can't afford to go see a doctor on a regular basis. Therefore, they have to go to the EAR, which ends up costing 10 times, 50 times, or sometimes even 100 times more than it would have been if they had just had access to preventable care, which they're more likely to have if they actually get a roof over their heads. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Am I reading this name up on the screen correctly? We have a rare appearance from Hunter Haas. Hey, Hunter, how you doing?
I am great. And, yeah, I was listening to this topic, and you kind of touched on it at the beginning, but I wanted to add to the addiction component and kind of there's a few different things going on. Why you see so many people that, like, go in and out of treatment, like, you meet people that have gone 20 times in their life, is because of housing. Is they, like, stabilize in treatment and do fine while they're in that, and then they don't have anything to return to later, so they go back to their old life and just end up back in treatment again. And they a lot of people use it as a way to, like, just get out of the cold in the winter. Mm-hmm. And have a place to live. But if we looked at it differently and provided incentives for people, like leaving treatment, provide housing to stay sober, it would. They've already shown, actually, that it drastically increases the chances of, like, having a successful recovery. So in the long run, it saves a lot of money as well.
Yeah, and that's the exact issue right there. In the long run, it does save a ton of money. In the short run, as I was saying, yeah, it will cost a lot of money to build housing from someone who is, as you're saying, who might be addicted or someone who is homeless. But yeah, if you're saving money from medical bills, that ends up costing a whole lot more than just paying for someone to live in a place for, let's say, even $600 a month, which is still well below market rate, but is still enough for maybe an okay, you know, studio apartment. That definitely goes a long way. And I think you also hit it on the head here, Hunter, when you're talking about how when people live or leave the hospital after they've been sober for a few days, well, if they have nowhere to go, well, they're probably just going to go back to exactly what they know if they're addicted, which is, well, getting right back on their addiction, unfortunately.
And do you know any, like, measures of actually creating a more, like, sustainable program of doing this? Because it sounds good, and you touched on the kind of the challenges and how it's more expensive. Do you have any more information on, like, things going on or, like, ways that the health industry is going to include housing at all in the future?
I don't, outside of this one example of United Health. So I didn't read the full piece. You can find it over on Bloomberg from John Tazi, by the way, if you're out there listening. But basically, this guy actually worked in the housing industry before, and for nonprofits, he ended up getting an executive job at United Healthcare and brought some of his experience there and said, hey, why don't we use some of this money to actually, as an experiment, house homeless people? And as we were talking about, a lot of these guys or a lot of these people who were homeless went to the emergency room multiple times per month and were racking up medical bills. And of course, in the case of United Healthcare, that was helping them because, well, they had to somehow reimburse the hospitals for the care that they got. So, yeah, it actually did end up saving a lot of money, which in the case, the one example they brought up with Steve, I believe was the name of the patient, yeah, saw his medical bills go down 80%. But unfortunately, outside of United Healthcare, no other examples, but it looks like United at least does want to expand this to some other markets outside of Phoenix. Just the issue would be, is this more of a hobby than actually United Healthcare's, you know, core business? And I'm guessing in that case, it's probably more of a hobby than something they're actually going to invest a whole lot of money into, which could actually do a whole lot of good.
That gives us an opportunity, all of us, to kind of pressure our representatives and kind of get this on as a conversation of a possibility. So, like, whenever you're speaking with your own rep at any town hall or anything, consider bringing this up as a question. Because if we just kind of stir the pot a bit, it'll gain some traction and momentum, because the studies back up everything you're saying. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the challenge, unfortunately, when trying to convince elected officials to go with this policy is that, well, typically when you have politicians, they're only thinking about the short-term costs, because by the time you see those long-term savings, well, they're generally out of office or have moved on to something else. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Hunter, where if we can, well, even get just people in general aware of how much money is actually saved in the long run by actually giving housing to people, it does so much good in terms of helping people get, well, beat their addiction or helping people not be homeless anymore. There's so much good that can be done with this.
All right. Well, I'll stop in and let's make an appearance this week.
I think we need to do that. Yeah, I'll send you a text. I'm kind of thinking, though, a little on-air production meeting. How's your Thursday looking? Love to have you on the program.
I think that could work.
Excellent. So there's a little teaser for you. Hunter Haas coming back to the 4 o'clock show, maybe on Tuesday. All right, Hunter. Hey.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you later.
All right. Catch you later, Hunter. Good to hear from you. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Yeah, I would love to get Hunter back here in studio. By the way, you can still also hear him on the weekends, Saturdays at 7 o'clock with Mission Accomplishers. Let's talk to Randy in St. Cloud, who wants to continue the conversation I was just having with the old Hunter Haas. Hey there, Randy, what's on your mind today?
Well, it was a real pleasure to hear Hunter this week. That was great. I just want to add to what he was saying about, I mean, there's so much about this whole, the meme that, oh, we don't want to take away people's private health care and, oh, you don't want the government, you know, that, but right now there's no incentive for any health care company to really give a crap about pollution, say. So when the EPA does the crazy stuff that they're doing right now of, oh, let them dump coal ash pond water anywhere and let them do this and, you know, add to our pollution, more asthma, that's just money in the healthcare industry's pockets. But if it was the government paying for that, they would go, hey, this is kind of stupid. Why don't we stop letting them do that? And that would save us money on the healthcare end, too. Or let's put people in housing, and then we aren't paying for them to go to emergency services all the time because living outside in the winter in Minnesota can kill people or at least make them really sick. And on the issue of the veterans, honor our veterans, thank you for your service. You know, the obligatory thank you for your service now. But 22 veterans commit suicide every day. What, you know, let's do something about that. Yeah, it's going to take some money. So what? If we really honor our veterans, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I could go on, but I'll quit now.
You've made some great points there, connecting a lot of dots there, Randy, and do appreciate that. Yeah, going back to how, yeah, in a way, pollution actually does help the healthcare industry. Well, not help them, but actually forces them to pay more money because people actually have to use their health insurance when, of course, they're facing polluted conditions. Thanks so much for the call there, Randy. Do appreciate that. And then also connecting the dots there on what's happening, yeah, as you were talking about that unfortunate stat with 22 veterans a day, yeah, that end up committing suicide. That is an unbelievable number. And do you want to know a great way to actually reduce that number of veterans who end up committing suicide every day? Don't send them to active duty into places they don't need to be, because a lot of that comes from PTSD of being involved in conflicts. So if you don't have conflicts in the first place, hopefully fewer people and fewer people who are from active duty or who've become veterans will actually become suicidal because of PTSD. So, yeah, some good points there, Randy, connecting some dots there for us. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Coming up on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about some local news here in Minnesota, including with Amy Klobuchar making some comments about Pete Buttigieg. Also, Colin Peterson in the news because, I don't know if you knew this, but he is officially not decided on if he's going to run in 2020. We'll talk about all that and more on the way next here on the program.
Make some
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
I'm Connie Burek, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion radio show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. On the Awakened Living radio show, we will discuss stress, self-care, fear, happiness, beliefs, communication, joy, pain, trauma, and more. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion radio show Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into life.
I'm Dr. Thomas Adams, President and CEO of Better Futures Minnesota. We're a social enterprise dedicated to rebuilding lives through housing, workforce development, health and family engagement, and coaching supports that give men the skills and relationships they need to succeed. Better Futures Minnesota engages men who had a history of incarceration, homelessness, poverty, untreated mental and physical health challenges to help them achieve self-sufficiency and a better future for themselves and their communities. Visit us at betterfuturesminnesota.com to learn how you can support our enterprise.
Auto Technical needs your help to keep our transportation program going. Social agencies like Workforce Training Center, Tubman Shelter, they rely on our mission of providing transportation to families in need. Donations of vehicles are down 80% because of the new tax laws. We really need vehicle donations to continue our mission. Help us, please. Give a call to Richard at 612-919-5526, autotechnical.org.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to 1 for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence.
Coming up, should beliefs aim at truth?
What else should they aim at? Falsehood?
Well, maybe, if believing a falsehood makes you happy.
Oh, come on. Wishful thinking is for whims.
Oh, like you never believed anything because you wanted to.
Should beliefs aim at truth? Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
Ron, for the final segment of the 4 o'clock show, Brett and Sam with you on a Monday afternoon. Big thanks to Hunter Haas for making a cameo during that last segment and bringing up some good aspects of why we definitely need to get a roof over the heads of people who are homeless or people who are battling addiction and other issues as well. And hopefully we'll have Hunter live in studio a little bit later on this week. Also, speaking of something that's going to be happening later this week, you just heard that ad for Better Futures Minnesota, and well, actually coincidentally on Thursday, I'm hoping to have one of the workers from Better Futures Minnesota in studio to talk about how he's actually gotten his life turned around since being released from incarceration. He's actually one of the supervisors for Better Future Minnesota that comes and cleans our building every Thursday along with his crew. He does an awesome job, and since working with Better Futures Minnesota, he's really been able to turn his life around. It's a really powerful story, and hopefully we'll be having him coming up on Thursday, which also happens to be, by the way, Give to the Max Day. Some quick-hitting political news on the local level before we wrap up today. Colin Peterson still has not officially decided if he's going to run for re-election. I was always under the assumption that he was going to run in 2020. But apparently he's still not committed. He says, quote, "I can win. I'm not worried about that. I'm almost worried I will win because the issue is, do I want to stick around for another farm bill? Because basically, I've got to stay 3 more terms if I want to do that. So I've got to make that decision. Do I want to make that commitment? I at least Hope he does stick around for one more term, because even if you're not a big fan of Colin Peterson, his district will probably only exist for one more term, since Minnesota, as I've brought up numerous times before, is likely to lose one of our congressional seats, and a good chunk of CD7 will probably be absorbed by CD1, CD6, and CD8. Also, in some local news, Amy Klobuchar. I'm surprised this hasn't happened earlier. Amy Klobuchar has actually started taking some digs at Pete Buttigieg. Klobuchar basically made some comments saying that someone with Pete Buttigieg's experience would not be able to make the debate stage if Pete Buttigieg were a woman, talking about how men and women are held to different standards. Now, I think Amy's absolutely right in these comments that she's made, but the part I'm kind of interested in when it comes to this story is the fact that it's taken this long for the more moderate candidates to go after each other. Because in the debates that we've seen so far, it's been really a battle of the more moderate candidates attacking the more progressive candidates and the more progressive candidates attacking the more moderate candidates. We haven't really seen any moderate versus moderate conflicts, which surprises me. Because I think there could be a lane open for someone to possibly succeed Joe Biden should his campaign falter. Of course, polling data shows that's not going to happen yet. But if you look at the past presidential campaigns with Joe Biden, he has faltered every single time. And if he does end up running into some issues, someone else will have to fill that so-called moderate lane. And I think Klobuchar's possibly starting to pick up on that, knowing that, well, if Biden were to all of a sudden randomly drop out today, Pete Buttigieg would probably take over as that new moderate favorite among a lot of people in the DNC. And I think she's trying to, by baking these digs at Pete Buttigieg, maybe try to make herself as that next in line behind Joe Biden. Couple more stories before we wrap things up. TV networks have committed to covering the impeachment hearings live, as ABC, CBS, NBC, and PBS all said last week that they will preempt their regularly scheduled programming to show live coverage on both the House and the Senate should we end up with impeachment hearings. Well, formal impeachment hearings in the House, then of course the trial, which would happen in the Senate. So I'm not sure if I'd be very happy about that if I'm a Republican, because again, I think the less publicity you get to impeachment, the better it is for Republicans, because the more and more publicity you get to it, the more and more I think people are going to pay attention to it and figure out the dastardly things Trump has done. One final question for you. This is for you, Sam. Rudy Giuliani wants to launch a podcast. Are you going to listen to it?
Maybe for entertainment.
Exactly. That's kind of what I was thinking, too. The Rudy Giuliani podcast. Yeah, not sure about that. All right. That's all the time we have on today's program. I'll talk to you tomorrow. But in your mind.